Blog Talk Radio.
Baby, look at me. Mama love you. And I know you ain't no little boy no more, but you'll always be my baby. It seems like only yesterday I was holding you in my arms. Now look at you now, big man. But I worry about you. I worry about you all the time. Hanging out on the corner all times of night with the cool people. Baby, that ain't nothing but trouble. I always taught you that you could have whatever you dream. Well, I want you to hold on to that dream, baby. Hold on to it real tight. Because the sky's the limit.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How's everybody doing tonight?
All right.
I'd like to welcome to the stage the lyrically acclaimed.
Woo!
I like this young man because when he came out with the phrase, he went from ashy to classy.
All right.
I like that.
All right.
So everybody in the house, give a warm round of applause for the Notorious B.I.G. The Notorious B.I.G., ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for him, y'all. A nigga never been as broke as me. I like that. When I was young, I had two pair of leaves. Besides that, the pinstripes and the gray. The one I wore on Mondays and Wednesdays. While niggas flirt, I'm throwing tigers on my shirt and alligators. You wanna see the inside? I see you later. Here come the drama. Oh, that's that nigga with the fake. Wow! Why you punch me in my face? Stay in your place. Play your position. Here come my intuition. Go in this nigga pocket. Rob him while his friends watch it. And hoes clock it. Here comes respect. His crew's your crew, or they might be next. Look at they man eyes, big man, they never try. So we roll with them, stole with them. I mean loyalty, niggas bought me milks at lunch. The milks with chocolate, the cookies, butter crunch. 88, Oshkosh and blue and white stuff, that's the blunt.
Keep on trying on. Sky is living, be with me.
Yo. This is Big C. Welcome to another edition of Detroit Sports Break, Sports Rap. I am up here along with my co-host, L. Diggity Dog. How you doing today? It's a wonderful day here in the D. I know you got out and got a chance to enjoy yourself, man. So tell me a little bit about your day today, sir.
Oh, man, you know, it was a beautiful day today. You know what I'm saying? 70-something degrees, kicked it. You know, enjoy some of that sports that we saw, watching the Tigers out of here, one nothing. You know, just living it up, that's all.
That's what's up. We had an exciting weekend of sports. Some call it Saturday, one of the greatest sports days of all time. We had the Kentucky Derby. We had the NBA playoffs. We had the supposed fight of the century. A lot of things went down, man. So we're gonna jump right into it, man. And we're gonna go right with start right from the top. It was supposed to be the biggest show of the day, the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight of the century, as they build it. Two fighters fighting for their legacy. Unfortunately, we saw a typical Floyd fight where he controlled the tempo, was unable to be hit, consistently tagging his guy more than he got hit, and basically, I mean, the antics after the fight have been more exciting than the fight, you know, itself. I got a couple things, man, to say about this. First of all, I want to apologize for disrespecting the legacy and the fighting style of Floyd Mayweather. And I thought it was a chance that he can get in there and get caught and have a tough fight. I know Pacquiao was hurt and all that good stuff, and I'm gonna go into that point a little later, but I don't think it would have been much different. This guy was still able to throw 450 punches. He said nothing of the injury beforehand, which he could have, you know, postponed the fight. They're saying that he had this injury as far back as De La Hoya. I don't believe that. But I'm sorry for disrespecting Mr. Mayweather. Kudos to him. He's the best pound for pound today, one of the best of all times. I think you have to address his name into the conversation. You may not put him at the top of the board, but he's definitely into the conversation. And Pacquiao, you know, I lost a lot of respect for you. You went in there hurt, if you did, but it was, I mean, taking selfies before the fight. That was the first time that I mean, he was just happy to be there, man. And I thought he was a little bit more warrior. He did try to fight. He did try to win. He did try, you know, I guess his best under the circumstances, if there really were circumstances. But he didn't do it. And I just think that, you know, everything about him, PED use and all that, can't be proven, can't be said. But looking at that effort that we saw there, and he's the younger man. He's 36 years old versus Floyd, who's 38. I think there may be some possible truth to it. I mean, you know, nothing's proven, but I mean, I think it definitely brings up some questions. And I didn't see a true heart of a champion in there, man, from him, man. So I'm highly disappointed in him. I think he just was there for the money grab, you know. And I don't want to see a rematch, but go ahead, man. Take the floor from here, man. I'm sorry, man. Sorry, Floyd. You're the greatest of all time. Greatest of my time.
I'm not gonna say it because your time extends to Mike Tyson. Your time extends to Sweet Pea. Your time extends. No, it's not better. Your time extends to. No, your time extends to. Hey, listen. I let you have the floor. I was very quiet. Let me finish my thought.
Right,
your time also extends to you know what I'm saying, to Sugar Shane Mosley, you know, it's other guys. I'm not throwing.
Can you get your thoughts on the fight, and then we can debate.
Okay, well, listen. I let you have the floor. I let you speak for exactly 5 minutes. I gave you 5 minutes. Now shut the hell up and let me finish my thought. Thank you very much, sir. So like I was saying, Floyd, you know what I'm saying, he is a great boxer. You know, so I'm not going to say good. I'm going to say he's a great boxer. And in my top five, I give him that. Greatest of all time? No, he's not. I've seen way better than him. And I'm going to say Tyson, because without a two-year hiccup with him going to jail and the crap that he went through with Don King and everything else, you know what I'm saying, he would have won on a broke records as far as how many wins he could have had, because he was fighting more than just one fight every year or every other year. He was fighting good four to five or three, you know what I'm saying, in a year. Hold on. Let me finish, dude. I'll let you speak. Now, let me finish. Thank you very much.
No, it's not about speaking. Hold on. I didn't build.
Now, about the fight now.
Hold on, Elliot. Hold on. I didn't build time in for the debate over the greatest of all time. That's all I'm saying, sir. If you're going to talk about the fight, let's get to it. If not, this will be the ball.
Now, the fight. I'm going to tell you like this. Hold on. Carl. Thank you. The fight. Let me express my feelings on this fight, okay? It was a typical Floyd fight. Pacquiao, you know, started off the first three rounds like a warrior, like a champion. But he stepped back and take over the fight. There was a couple of hard throws during there. Pacquiao was also outclassed in the power punches. You know what I'm saying? He was out number 2-1 in the power punches as well. Floyd is slippery, has a great defensive presence. And it's hard to key in and knock somebody out like that. The thing is, I was looking at some of Floyd's old film, and he used to stand in there and take those punches and go toe-to-toe to now when he became just more of a runner type of fighter. So, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, that's why I don't want to give him the greatest of all times. I was building up to that to let you know that. The fight, like I said, I don't want to see a rematch, even though he had a torn rotator cuff. Like I said, that fight was a build-up. And if Pacquiao had won a couple more rounds, I would have felt a lot better. But you know, it was a build up to a great height, great nothing to me. He was outclassed in the ring. He surely couldn't get in, do nothing, no damage. And, you know, he couldn't even back him, put him on the ropes. Like, he wasn't attacking that much at all after the fifth round. He kind of stepped back, was in cruise control just to collect that check. Now, as far as him with the torn rotator cuff, I mean, I've had one of those. I understand the pain. I didn't see a lot of grimacing in his face because with a torn rotator, every time you throw a punch, that thing hurts. Every time you raise your arm towards a certain extent, you know what I'm saying, it hurts. So I'm going to give him the most kudos to him for stepping in the ring with that type of injury. I'm glad he got his paycheck. But now the next and greatest best thing, we got to see it happen. Something's got to bring boxing back.
Well, as far as Pacquiao goes and the injury, I'm thinking that, you know, if he did suffer a rotator cuff, he probably suffered it during the fight itself, not beforehand. He was too giddy beforehand. And if he did suffer it beforehand, I'm thinking that, I mean, it's just ludicrous that he would fight. He was just there to get the money. And now they're trying to use that position as he had an injury to get a rematch, to get another payday. There's no way Floyd should fight him again. I know Floyd said he will fight him again. It's easy money to fight Floyd, but there's no way he should fight this guy again because if he came in here injured, he duped everybody out. And I know it would have been a lot of money, you know what I'm saying, that would have been lost on the fight because people had plane tickets and things of that sort, but at the same time, people still would have ante up and came to the fight 4 to 6 months. Or I don't know if he would have, you know, I don't think he would have needed, he would have been out a year. I think he further injured it in the fight. If you tell me that his rotator cuff is torn or whatever, something's wrong with it, and then you go into a boxing fight and throw 429 punches, then I think you can further damage that arm to the point where you're out a year. Possibly they probably could have been out.
Plus sparring time, too. Plus when he was doing sparring practice. If his rotator cuff was torn, every time he had a sparring session, every time you see him hitting that power pad, every time he did any type of excessive force to that shoulder, it doesn't tear, but it puts wear and tear on it. It builds up scar tissue. It damages, so when you start raising it, it doesn't have the same effect. You know what I'm saying? And if him being a softball, if it's his right, you know, where he brings all the power coming from it, or, you know, it really affects the fight. That's why I believe he went to cruise control. If it is torn, you know what I'm saying, which they say it is, if it's torn to a certain degree, he went cruise control because he's in power no more. And as a fan, I would be very disappointed, just like you were saying earlier. And actually, they have two fans trying to file a class action lawsuit against them, saying that, you know, $5 million apiece, they're trying to file them, saying that they put excessive amount of money into the fight. And you know, he actually falsified it when you at the beginning of the fight, the day before the fight, you're supposed to check off everything. Are you injured? He checked no. So that's actually falsifying those documents right there.
Well, I don't know. I've heard about some of these lawsuits that some of these guys are putting up. But the bottom line is, I mean, if you're trying to sue them over what they did in the ring, good luck with that. People who put up to make money, they made their money. If you just talking about, you know, you didn't see a good fight and you mad you paid $100 or you spent all this money to go out there, well, I can't defend you, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't an exciting fight that we thought it was going to be, and it was pretty much, to me, Pacquiao's fault. He's the one who didn't stay true to himself. And when he did stay true to himself, he couldn't get it done. So, unfortunately, I feel sorry, you know, for those Pacquiao fans. I'm glad I didn't put no money on it because I was very tempted to do something with it. But I'm glad I stepped away from that and that didn't happen. But I'm curious, man. We're gonna get this your big five. We're going to keep it moving. You said you had a five. He's in your top five. I'd like to hear your five boxes. Then we're going to keep it moving to the next thing. We're not going to debate it. Just going to keep it moving.
Well, here's my question, though. Here's my question before we touch on that, okay? Who would be, I mean, would he be, I know Floyd has a contract clause that, you know, saying he loses, he get a rematch, okay? With so much money that was spent in promotion, so much money that was spent on, that people spent to get this fight going, would there be a rematch possibly? And second, I think Pacquiao knew if he backed down out of this fight, you know what I'm saying, I don't think Floyd would agree to give him the fight again. I think that's why he rushed the issue, because he felt that, okay, there's been so much turmoil between them two. They were fighting over who's going to show the fight. They were fighting over little small things. If he would have backed out, so I need another eight months. I don't think this fight went to place.
Well, the bottom line is it could have, it might not have. I mean, who knows? But the bottom line is this. Floyd don't need, especially after dispatching him like he did, the only thing he needed Pacquiao was to make this money. Now, I understand Floyd needed Pacquiao's name to help him make the money, but after that, it's a no-go. So as far as the rematch, you know, it depends on who else is out here. I think Floyd can get a lot of money from if he fights Miguel Cotto or Canelo Alvarez, especially if he fights them next year, because they're going to both fight. They're supposed to fight each other on May 2nd. Fight took a precedence, and they pushed their fight back, and then the negotiations fell apart. Canelo's fighting this weekend against Kirkland, and Cotto's fighting in June. So very possibly they could meet sometime later this year, after Floyd fights whoever, Amir Khan or some bum or whatever. And then if he wants to go for that 50th, I think he can get as much, if not more money, fighting those guys again, even though he's been in there with them before. But because they're bigger guys, they would have built their names back up, and they would have had a couple impressive fights under their belt and fought each other that they could, you know, generate a lot of money. I think those two guys can generate more money a year from now than Pacquiao can generate coming off of surgery. But it's not like he's going to have a warm-up fight. He's going to come off of surgery, train for this fight, and go back out there. Now,
right.
Floyd may not have taken this fight at doggone 40. I mean, shoot, he might not have. But at the same time, I believe he's going to go for that 50th victory. I know next is the last fight at 49, he'll tie the record. But I think he's going to make it work as well for somebody who's built up a name, who's built up enough of a reputation to possibly beat him, to possibly break that streak again and do exactly what they did to this fight right here. They brought us a villain. And actually what they do every fight, they bring us a villain, show us the best in him, and tell us that he's going to do all this and that to Floyd, and it's going to be a wrap. But it never really happens like that. So, like I said, my apologies for being on the wrong side of the fence. And I ain't trying to be on the bandwagon. I just thought I may see something. I take my shot. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. My apologies. Keep it moving. But I don't want to see a rematch. That's my personal opinion. But give me your five, though, man, real quick. We keep it moving.
Okay, check this out. My five. You know I'm going to go with Muhammad Ali. You know what I'm saying? that speaks for itself. Mike Tyson. Roy Jones Jr. Sugar Ray Leonard. Well, Joe Louis. Then you got, you know, Roy Jones Jr. or Sugar Ray Leonard. Because you got a lot to choose from. I mean, because you got to remember, I'm not just talking about from my time. I'm going back to the past, and I've seen a lot of, you know, I've seen a lot of film on them. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not just talking about, you know, you got Lennox Lewis was a great one. Oscar De La Hoya, Julio Cesar Chavez, Jack Johnson.
You can't put a guy over Floyd that he beat. Come on now. Well, give me a five.
No. I'm just saying you got a lot to choose from. So, Sugar Ray, Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., Joe Louis. Then I can put Floyd right there.
Okay. My top five is Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Robinson.
Okay.
Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Robinson, Floyd. Four, I will go with Julio Cesar Chavez Sr.
He was a okay.
And five, I will go with Sugar Ray Leonard.
Okay. So that's a good top five. I mean,
that's my man.
You know, people might like, you know, Sonny Liston. You know what I'm saying? We didn't even touch Evander Holyfield. You know? But I'm just saying, I like Mike Tyson because he changed the dynamics of fighting as far as what people look forward to seeing this fight being done in 5 minutes, 2 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Mike Tyson was somebody that took a whole era over. From the 80s to the 90s, he was boxing. I ain't gonna say he put boxing on the map because it was on the back mat, but he made it bigger. He made that heavyweight division thing. After Mike Tyson was done, I mean, Lennox Lewis, nobody gave him love because he wasn't American. You know what I'm saying? The Klitschko brothers, they don't like them because they're not American. You know, so the heavyweight division was what really runs boxing. And right now, you know, it's a shame we're looking to such a fight to bring boxing back, but we don't have it no more. That's a shame right now. And I love boxing way over MMA fighting because, you know, when they get down and start grappling and stuff, it's like wrestling. You know, boxing is a gentleman's sport. We get in there, fight for 12 or 15 rounds. I'm going to knock you out, knock me out, and then, you know, we can have tea afterwards. But, you know, that's the respect I like.
I don't think boxing is that far off. People say it's dead. I think the only problem that I have with that is, you know, it doesn't always have to be about an American champion. You know, boxing is not.
I understand that. You're right.
And an international thing is doing its thing. And we just don't have a lot of big names. But there are guys out here. Danny Garcia is a good fighter. Miguel Cotto is still a good fighter. Canelo Alvarez is a good fighter. Golovkin is a good fighter. Andre Ward is a good fighter. There's a number of good fighters out here. Boxing, to me, is not dying. You know what I'm saying? It's not a bunch of pay-per-view stuff out here, but I think that's because there are more options.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, football,
especially that now that they're showing.
And you want to say the MMA? Well, MMA has a great following, strong following. It's more than grappling. It's a lot more punching. It's a lot more physical. But the bottom line is, the MMA is so tough that it's too tough for some people. Some people just think it's too gruesome. Flat out.
I mean, it's not even that. But it's not even that. But my thing is this: MMA.
The reason they're getting popularity is because they have a commissioner who makes sure that not only are we building a great brand and a great league, and we've bought up all our competitors and brought all the best fighters here, but we are making them fight. We're giving the people what they want every 3 to 4 months. The champions, the challengers, whatever. It's clearly who's the number one contender because all the guys got to go through each other, and the champion got to fight. It ain't no bunch of promoters and all the other stuff involved. They got a commissioner who flat out says, okay, you three and you four, well, y'all fight. One and two is going to fight, and then we're going to have the winner of that versus the winner of that, and then the winner of that going to face the champion at UFC on pay-per-view. Flat out. Real clean.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, but the thing is I like about this, though, that nothing step on your toes. I feel what you said on that, but I like what boxing is doing lately. They made it so now you don't even have to pay to watch TV and watch some boxing now. When they had those was a Friday night fight, they're bringing that type of style back again, which was excellent. You know what I'm saying? They got people And outside of, say it again?
That's what they need to do.
Okay, I thought you said something.
Right,
because you got to reintroduce your product sometimes back to the public. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of these boxers, if you don't have pay-per-view, you don't even know them. Like on a lot of undercards, you wouldn't know. Like the fight we saw, what we were talking about last week, a couple of weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? It was a couple of fights, and it was a hell of a performance. You know what I'm saying? It was something that, you know, it was like, okay, who are these guys right here? And it was battling. It was a bloodthirsty battle in the ring. That's what boxing used to be. They used to come out there, stand toe-to-toe, and it wasn't all that. Let me try to outmaneuver you.
I watch boxing on HBO. I watch boxing on HBO. I watch boxing on Showtime. I watch boxing when it comes on Fox Sports. There's a lot of boxing on. Not the big fights that we're used to seeing, like they used to have on the worldwide, you know, worldwide sports or whatever. But it's still out here. I just think people are playing other sports, think it might be a little too brutal, and, you know, and it's not, and besides Floyd, who's real American, you know. We talk about some of his next opponents. He's not going to fight Walter Thurman because Walter Thurman is a high Al Heyman represented fighter, and he represents Floyd. So he's not going to fight him. Maybe Danny Garcia. I think Danny, one or two of them guys are maybe Al Heyman guys. So I don't think he's going to fight them. Like I said, the only big name guys out there are Canelo, Cotto, who are bigger than him. Danny Garcia, I think, is a little lighter than him. Amir Khan is out there. They keep throwing his name out there. So I think it's real limited in terms of, you know, who he can fight right now. Probably about four or five names. And then it'd be over with. It's only one or two of those names I think can really generate money. So I really think that he may be done at 49. He may wait for Pacquiao, but it's just like, really? I
mean, you know what, though? This is all like
on May 7th next year. That'll be the fight. Cinco de Mayo with the Hispanic fighter. Come on now. You thought it
was like I said, I would love to see something like that. But like I said, I would love to see, you know, saying that style of boxing coming back. You know, because right now everybody's so technical. I'm gonna win on point. And some of the shots we was watching in this fight and other fights, they weren't even power punches. They were just he's tapping him. But since he got a hit in, it's a point, you know, generated. So a lot of those punches, you know what I'm saying, really didn't people was also complaining that Dan Pacquiao was hitting Floyd, but it wasn't. He was actually just hitting his arms. He was blocking, which is okay. I have no thing about blocking. But, you know what I'm saying? It's so the days of stepping in the ring and going one-on-one with somebody are pretty much, like, done, unless you get to a heavyweight or a couple of these younger cats that are thirsty. Because if you look at, I don't know if I sent you the film.
You showing that you don't see too many boxes. That's not true, man. There's a lot of thumpers out here. A lot of summer. Just don't get caught up with what Floyd does and say that all
I understand what you're saying. No, I understand exactly what you're saying, but this is what I'm saying. Nowadays, boxing, well, lightweight, because I can't go to heavyweight. Heavyweight is thumpers, okay? Light heavyweight, thumpers. But you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about people in Floyd.
To me, Klitschko is very similar to Floyd. Jab, jab, punch, combination.
No. The Klitschko brothers have a whole different stuff. Klitschko and Lennox Lewis fight the same. They keep you at bay, then they come in there and they rock your jaw, and they come with all type of body shots. They're very technically sound the way they fight. You know what I'm saying? Those two, that 6 foot whatever frame that they sit on, they perfected the style of boxing. You know what I'm saying? They box you. They don't brawl. They box. You know what I'm saying? Then you got something like to run away, like Floyd, and get a punch in here and in. But like I said, we just need a couple more of those. Those fights that we saw coming to like I've seen the last 2 weeks on regular TV and HBO, those have been beautiful. I've done not complain. I've loved every minute of those, and those will bring boxing back.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead. Make your last point on this. 30 minutes in boxing, man. Go ahead.
I'm done, bro.
Okay, let's talk about our Tigers who are currently in the game 1-1 in the top of the third. Against the Chicago White Sox. They had a little rough time with KC. They split out there with those guys.
Which I'm
happy.
Had
a little bit of good news, though. Verlander's supposed to be coming back to resume throwing, I should say. So that's a little bit of good news. I don't know exactly when he's going to be back with us. But it's good to see that he's finally throwing again and could be possibly coming back into our rotation.
Mm-hmm.
You have anything to add on there? Are you good?
No, we'll see what happens when he get back, man. You know, you know how I feel about Verlander right now. I just want to see him. You know, we need his arm if it's productive. We definitely need that. We just want to make sure that, you know, that I just want to get him started, see him started. I want to see him pitching. He can do his games that he needs to do. And please come on back, because the starting is not as good right now as it usually is.
Okay, well, let's talk about, man, the NFL draft, man. Let's talk about the Lions draft, per se. Some people said it was a good, some people said it was bad. They did a lot of movement up and down for Mr. Mayhew, the mover. How did you think about what did you think about the draft? What are some of your key points, highlights, lowlights? If you can, you know, keep it specific and concise as possible to be great.
Okay. The low light about the NFL draft. Okay, we made a trade with the Broncos, got a fifth-round pick. And we also got a guard to go with it. We used that pick to pick up a fullback in the fifth round. I understand people want to say the NFL is re-evolving back to, you know, the smash mouth type of league, you know, because you spread everything else. But why in the God's name did we pick up a fullback? I have no idea, okay? That's my low life part, my low part of the draft. The high part of the draft, we picked up a guard, man. A lot of people complain about picking that guy up. He's a mauler. You know what I'm saying? He's somebody that, you know, now you know how I mean, you talk about Rayola when he's gone, how the guards got to help out on his block. The thing is, with the new center that we have that can block a nose tackle one-on-one, the guards better block one-on-one now. They don't have to help out with the center. I think we have an excellent line. And see if everybody comes back healthy. Right now for the Lions. Okay, I'm glad we took up the guard. I'm not going to hold you up. I wanted the offensive lineman, the first-round pick. The running back, I was a sold on, Abdullah. But I saw his highlight. I saw a little bit more about him, did a little bit more research about him. And he has some wiggle, Carl. Hey, Carl, this cat right here, I'm not going to say he's very, very standard, but he has those type of moves, man. He's a starting type of running back. I've seen Nebraska line him up as a slot receiver, screens, and everything else. I like that. We got a couple of corners to fill the void, even though one of them is a little bit undersized. And the other corner that we picked up is going to eventually turn to safety because he's, what, 6 foot, 200 pounds. And we got another D tackle from Auburn. So I wasn't at first sold on the draft. I wasn't like, hey, you know. But I'm kind of, you know, the more I read up on these people and see how they are, you know what I'm saying, I'm kind of feeling a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? I feel a little bit better. We filled a lot of boys. It was a lot. I'm going to say B. I'll give it a solid B.
I thought that we did. I warmed up to Thomas, and I really thought we can get him in the second round, but he may have been a top 40 guy. We did get two additional picks along with backup center, I guess, to kind of solidify that center guard position. So we got two starters and a backup somehow, some way. I don't know who's going to do who, and we're hoping that that Warford and Tomlinson are the starters, but who knows. Swanson did good in limited action last year, but I think he did his best work at guard, so I'm going to be eager to see if he wins the center spot. Still need help at right tackle. We don't know if Waddle, to me, is the best option. We don't know where he's going to be. He's coming off an ACL injury. Otherwise than that, we drafted a guy in the seventh round. We got Cornelius Lucas, who's over there. So I'm still thinking we need some help on the at the tackle position. Running back, you know, very productive back, undersized, good skills, small hands, fumbles a lot. I'm very worried about that. He's the wild card in the whole thing. If he becomes an every down player or a 2-3 down player, he becomes, you know, very valuable. If he's Reggie Bush from 2 years ago, who runs for 1,000 yards and catches for 600 yards, then he's valuable and worth that pick. If he's a 400 or 500 yard guy, 300 or 400 yards receiving, you know, I still think, again, we should have got him possibly in the third round where some other talented backs went. But, I mean, he's the wild card, though. Depends on him. If he becomes an every down back, then we got to steal. If not, it's just kind of, you know. You tried a first and a second round and got, to me, two second round picks. The two corners, to me, could be special.
could be steals. I really like the six-round guy who's the brother of Quentin Jammer. Started as a true freshman at the corner spot. He's shown great stats. 37 breakups in 3 years, started 43 of 52 games, 11 career interceptions. We know in the league that throws the football against superior athletes. You know, he is 5'9", 190 pounds, very physical in the run game, solid tackler in the open field. He also, unfortunately, I think ran a 4.55 at the 40 at the combine. Don't know what his personal time was at the pro day, but just looking at him, looks like he has a great feel for the game. His brother was a in the league for 12 years at the position, so he definitely can enlighten him some knowledge and shows me at least good genes. And the guy had 37 breakups and 11 interceptions, so, I mean, he knows where the ball is a lot of times, so I like him a lot. D-tackle, I'm, you know, good player. We traded up to get him. I still think that there were some guys on the board who went after him that I think you could have got, Grady Jarrett. We're going to talk about him a little bit later. We're going to talk about some of my teams who did extremely well. And some other guys, Michael Bennett, who went in the sixth round, was on the board, and we didn't have to give up that pick for next year in the third round to get, I think, a quality guy. But we helped ourselves, I guess, depth-wise. We still need to improve because, I mean, we're still talking about three guys who have not played a lot of football. Tyron Walker, the guy we got from New Orleans, hasn't played a lot of football at D-tackle. Karan Reed didn't play a lot of football last year as a rookie, and this guy. So we're depending on some young guys with no experience, along with the 31-year-old Nada, to, you know, hold it down. So it's going to be key. I think that we add some talent there. I think we did good. Solid. I gave it a C+, B. I just think we just left some things on the board. We tried to do a little bit too much. I definitely think character played a big part in what they did. Now, looking at what they've added, realistically or whatever, where do you see this putting them in terms of the division? Because I'm going to tell you, I looked at the division and how they drafted, and they did. The division did an extremely good job of drafting.
Yeah.
For real.
Hey, you know, Carlson, I'm going to tell you like this. I'm scared of our division. You know what I'm saying? Last year, we said Minnesota wasn't going to be nothing. We already knew that. We knew Chicago was struggling with a ticking time bomb that's about to implode. We knew that. Green Bay, hey, man, you know, Green Bay is just a juggernaut. Right now, Minnesota made so many moves along with the Bears that this division, as far as how the Lions play right now, is a toss-up. It's going to become on our coaching staff, you know, because they think they're actually better without Sue and Fairley. I got to see this with my own eyes, you know what I'm saying? That's what they keep saying, we're better without Sue and Fairley right now. I don't see it. I don't understand it. But if they believe in it, I can respect it.
Well, let me ask you this, Elliot. What would you say? What would you think would be the appropriate response to that? If someone says, I mean, they're saying, what would you say?
If they said the Lions are better now without a preliminary.
No. If someone asks you the question, if you are the Lions, if someone asks you the question, how do you think you're going to be next year on defense? And you're the defensive coordinator.
I wouldn't say, realistically speaking, I wouldn't say we're going to be better without Sue. I'm like, you know, we took a loss, one of the best D-tackles in the NFL. I think we can maintain where we at, you know what I'm saying, a little bit of key people to step up in key positions will be okay. I will leave it just like that. You know, I'm not going to sit there and tell my fans and say, well, you know, we're going to be better without Sue. Because they're going to look at you because the Detroit fans ain't stupid. We all know that. As Detroit fans,
you mean,
are some of the most educated.
You mean they still? We've been up stadiums for years with no playoff teams. You mean
I understand that. That's called loyalty. No, we're loyal to a fault. That's the problem. Detroit fans are too loyal. They're too loyal to their team. When they got pissed off, they asked for the head of the GM, and they got it. You know what I'm saying? That's when it was just pissed. They're not stupid. They're just too loyal.
1-16, and guess what? They still had sellouts. The loyal ticket fan costs just as much as the dumb ticket fan costs. It doesn't matter what you are, as long as the tickets are sold, that's what they're trying to do. So I'm not going to tell you. No, we're not going to be as good as we were last year. No, not until I see we play, not until I see what happens, not until the tickets is bought. Then once we get out there playing, I may say, well, hey, you know, well, you lost Sue, and, you know, we're trying to maintain. I'm not. Okay, I keep trying to tell you, man. We get locked into being a player.
and trying to be a coach and trying to be a fan, man. You got there. This is a business, man. Was Jay Z say, "I'm a business, man"?
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
No, I would never say we're not gonna. No, we're not gonna be a good. No, we're not gonna be that. No, and how do you expect players to look you in the face after you told them that y'all ain't gonna be the same?
No, I feel like this. I expect some as a coach, I understand what you're saying, but as a fan, now I put my fan shoes on there, like you said.
There
I don't
go.
Look at it as me coaching, as me being an ex player. All I'm saying is I'm looking at it like this. You have to be objective with your fans and say, look, you know what, we're gonna be exciting. It's ways to dance around that question. Basically at this point you wanna do that.
They wanna sell tickets.
You're right. They're in the business to sell tickets. You're absolutely right. But at the same time, you want them to say something like, hey, we want to be exciting. We're going to be energetic. You can throw all type of actions at the fans, but don't sell them that we better of the defense now without so many pieces of the puzzle. Now, I will give you this, and I want you to hear me out on this one. I will say this to you. With all the linebackers coming back healthy, I think that linebacker core is going to be a beast, okay? And I'm stressing that. That linebacker core is going to be a beast, the bread and butter of this defense. I give you that. Anata, he's like I said before, I like his energy and everything he brings, but like I said before, Sue was the type of player that didn't have to come off the field. You know what I'm saying? He ate up snaps just because of his energy and everything else. Anata, I've seen some Baltimore games. I've seen him disappear. And then I've seen him be so exceptionally well, he's like, whoa, where'd he come from? You know what I'm saying? That's playing the zero technique. That's playing a nose tackle, the one. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just playing right up over the center. I love him. And, I mean, he's brave. But I'm thinking after a couple of series, you know, I want to make sure his motor is still at the same temple as Sue. That's all I'm saying. You know, so let's not get so sold on, okay, yeah, we're going to be a great team because such and such and his is not going to be here. We got to make sure we understand that the loss of Sue played an integral part of different parts of the game.
I mean, you know, like I said, the most overused term in our debates is you watch football. If you don't watch football and you don't know that, I don't need him to tell me that. He can tell me whatever.
Right.
He can tell me the sky's yellow. I don't need him to tell me we're not going to be as good. I don't want him to tell me that.
And that's what I was saying. That's what I was trying to tell you. I don't want that.
But at the same time, I know that. I don't need him to tell me that we're not going to be the same. You know what I'm saying? As an info, like you say, your fans ain't stupid. Why are we even talking about that? It's this year. Let's see what we can do this year. But to my point, the Chicago Bears, man, Kevin White, Eddie Goldman, Jeremy Langford in the fourth round. Man, I give them a solid B-plus to A-minus on their draft, man. Green Bay Packers, Demarius Randall, the safety, cornerback Quentin Rollins, wide receiver Ty Montgomery, I should say, linebacker Jake Runyon, fifth round pick Brent Hundley. Solid draft for them. I give them probably a B for their draft. You said the Minnesota Vikings, Trey Waynes, Eric Kendricks, Daniel Hunter, TJ
Clemens.
It's a major steal. Stephon Diggs, the receiver from Maryland, I told you about. Fifth round pick. He should have stayed in school. He probably would have been a second or third round pick. But hey, he's out here. Some other late round solid guys. I give them a B plus, man, for their draft. I think the Lions, man, are going to be really, really trying to stay in front of Chicago and Minnesota because I know Chicago wants changes. They got some great weapons for them for the quarterback over there. And they got some good pieces over there offensively.
Yes, they did.
3-4 defense. They got a big nose tackle and a couple guys who can rush off the edge. They can be tough. Minnesota's putting it together offensively. They got Mike Wallace. They added the receiver, Stephon Diggs. Added some defensive pieces. Shoot. We're still waiting to see what Adrian Peterson deal is going to be. They can be tough.
That's the key. That's the linchpin to that Minnesota offense right now. Adrian Peterson. There's a few people still in talks. My thing is if Adrian Peterson stays, he's going to run hard, hungry, and everything else. He wants to prove that, you know, he's valuable. He can get out of there next year, probably. I know one thing. He's not happy there. So,
I was hoping he was going to. And I don't think anybody's going to be willing to pay him that money. So, I think he's going to. And And to me, I meant to say it last week, but if he was going to move, it was probably going to be on Friday of that draft. Unless somebody's willing to give up a number one pick, which I just don't think anybody would, especially after the draft is now over. So you're talking about number one pick for next year before we even play. So we don't even know what it's going to be. Could be a late round pick.
We don't even know what condition he is right now.
Well, I mean, I'm sure. I mean, he's probably the greatest indicator of future performance is past performance. What type of shape has he always been in? You ever seen him out of shape?
Yeah. Never that. Even coming off energy. Like I said, you got to make sure you put up productive as a cornerback.
His preparation is not a question to me. That's not a question. It's just about, do I want to give up that for a 30-year-old back who may, you know, he can be injured. And the next one may take him out. He's about to be 30, you know what I mean? But we'll see. I think him and Minnesota are about to dig in, man, for a big fight because I don't think they're trying to let him go. They're not going to be satisfied unless they get a great compensation package. And I don't think anybody's going to trade the compensation package and pay him the money. So,
right.
Three teams that you think, you know, did pretty well in the draft, man, and a couple players. Why?
I'm gonna start off with one. I was telling you before, Cleveland Browns. Okay, like I said, they got Danny Shelton as a nose tackle in Washington. They got him a center, Cameron Irvin from Florida State. Then they turned around, got him another defensive end. They addressed the line. Then they got him an explosive, even though it's the backfield is getting crowded over there, got him a hell of a running back out of Duke Johnson, out of Miami, somebody that we was looking at that we all wanted. I'm going to tell you right now, Cleveland Browns, even though they quarterback is questionable, that, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, Johnny Manziel. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm very, very impressed on them. I think they will be a team to be reckoned with over there in that division because everybody's getting old. Indianapolis Colts, that's another team that, you know, I like over there in their draft. They had a very successful draft. You know, I mean, they got them another receiver over there. They picked up another D tackle. I'm telling you right now, I'm impressed with the Colts. And then my final team, I know this is going to be a joke that, you know, you don't like, but the Buffalo Bills, man. The Buffalo Bills. I keep telling you about some Bills over there. You know what I'm saying? And I heard that Coach Rex Ryan is in talks with the tackle from LSU right now. You know what I'm saying? He actually came in town, had a talk and everything else with him, and he's trying to steal. Which right now, Carl, I've got a question for you. He cannot enter the draft next year. He can't get in the supplemental draft this year. How would that work for – is he just a free agent, an unsigned free agent when he comes in to pay for him? And can anybody just try to get him or can anybody give up something for him? How does that go?
He's a free agent.
So anybody, whatever, so would you pay him like second round money knowing that he was a top second round pick?
You can pay him whatever you want to pay him. You can pay him whatever. You can offer him whatever you want to pay him. I should say it like that. He can decide whatever he wants. So it can be a bidding war out here if so be it, or you know somebody can pay him third, fourth round money, fifth round money, or he can get first round. I don't know what his market is. His market is going to determine how much money he gets. But he's a free agent who's free to negotiate with anyone. He met with the Bills one day, and he was in Miami the next day. So he's making the rounds right now. They're still going to probably wait till he gets cleared, but you know they're going to see what shape he's in and see what's up. But my three good drafts.
I would like to see the Lions. I would like to see the Lions bring him in. Be honest with you, because that was solidified that left tackle position that we have a question mark on.
My three good drafts is Atlanta, Vic Beasley, Jalen Collins, Tevin Coleman in the third round, Justin Hardy, Grady Jarrett, a fifth-round pick who was on the board when we traded up and got this guy. I think this guy's a better player. I give them an A for theirs. Jacksonville, man. Jacksonville, a laughing stock of the league. But I'm telling you, they're putting a little something together over there. You're going to have to watch those guys in a couple years. Dante Fowler, T.J. Yeldon, A.J. McCann, the offensive guard in the third round. Rashard Greene, who was the leading receiver for Florida State the last 2 years, in the fourth round. In the sixth round, defensive tackle Michael Bennett. I give those guys an A+. One of the teams that you mentioned that I really, really liked was Cleveland. But since you brought them up, I'm going to go ahead to another team that I really, really liked. Cleveland did some major things. They got a lot better.
Cleveland got a hell of a lot better.
My other team that I really, really liked were the Arizona Cardinals. They're a dangerous team, man. They're a dangerous team over there, especially with San Fran kind of slightly imploding. And I think Seattle is kind of not really where they need to be right now.
They didn't do much for me. I wasn't impressed with Seattle at all. As far as the draft goes, I wasn't impressed with Seattle right now. Seattle, they think they did a couple of moves in free agency that made them a lot better.
Let me finish my third team. Let me finish my third team, and we can talk about the teams who didn't do so well. Arizona, they picked up DJ Humphries, Marcus Golden, David Johnson, the running back from Northern Iowa, Shalik Riddick, J.J. Nelson, the wide receiver who some folks thought the Lions were going to grab late in the draft. He's a great returner. It gives them some options out there. Those are my three squads, man. I gave them an A for theirs, and it's a couple teams. Honorable mention, I think Houston did well, Baltimore and Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, that whole division, Cleveland, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati did well. That's probably why they're going to continue to be a tough division. Now, you were talking about teams who didn't do well, and you had Seattle. Go ahead and speak on them, man.
No, I'm just saying, I wasn't impressed with Seattle did. They were seemed like they were banking off of what already had, and they didn't, you know, make key moves to get better. So, you know, like I said, I wasn't impressed on Seattle at all. That's just one of my teams, you know what I'm saying? They got a tight end in the offseason, and that was about it. I didn't see no big splashes for them. I'm not feeling them right now. I think they're going to make a big step back. I know for a fact that the Cardinals is going to win that division. And I'll go from there.
You know for a fact, hell, they're going to win it?
Oh, the Cardinals win that division this year.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, Pete Carroll's going to beat himself up for not giving Beast Mode the ball in the Super Bowl.
Elliot, I hear you, man, but we got a format here, man. We just can't keep jumping from subject to subject. Let's talk about these teams who have bad drafts, and we'll finish that, and we can go to the next thing, man.
Go ahead. Go to your next team that had a bad draft.
Seattle. I think they had a bad draft as well. I agree with you. Frank Clark was their first pick in the second round from Michigan. You know I'm a Michigan guy 100%. This guy has all type of off-the-field red flag problems. I think if they did want him, he was off a lot of guys' draft boards, but, you know, they probably could have got him in the fourth or fifth round. Ty Lockett is a good player, a return guy, receiver, but he's just as small as those other guys they had. I think they needed a big body to throw in there. He was drafted in the third round. I think he's a fourth or fifth round guy. Didn't really address a lot of their needs on the offensive line, so I agree with you on them. Now, one of the teams that you said that you liked, I didn't like at all, was Indianapolis. Yeah, they got Philip Dorsett, but the bottom line is this. They just signed Andre Johnson. They have T.Y. Hilton. They have, I can't remember his name, the bigger guy. Dante Moncrief was a guy I liked in Mississippi last year. They also brought in Chris Carter's son, Deron Carter. Now, I do understand that T.Y. Hilton is a free agent this year, and possibly once they pay Andrew Luck, they may not be able to bring T.Y. back, so you bring in another little receiver. But you've got four guys already in front of this guy already. I know Andre Johnson may be a one and done, but I think that they needed a lot more help on the offensive line. They didn't really, you know, secure their number one aspect, which is Andrew Luck. They got DeJuan Smith in the second round, a cornerback I really, really like a lot. Physical guy, a little undersized, but knows where the football is and can get there. They did get a defensive tackle a little bit later, but again, though, that's their Achilles heel, the inside of that defense, and they didn't really quite, you know, really address those needs early enough and with the talent that I think. So I don't agree with them. I think that they had a great offseason, free agent period, but their draft could have been a little bit better. And, they're still going to be a contender, but I still think that they had some areas of concern. Carolina, Shaq Thompson, first round, linebacker, safety, whatever, from Washington. I know you love him. You know, said Washington had a talented team. This guy could have got him in the second or third round. We don't even know what position he really is. Is he outside linebacker? Is he a strong safety? You don't want to play running back, so I don't know. Devin Funch just took him in the second round, another big receiver that you have. You also have Kevin Benjamin. So in the red zone, you guys should be good. But he needs to work on his route running. He needs to work on his separation skills.
up a couple receivers on the board, like Devin Smith of Ohio State and Jalen Strong, who ended up going in the third round to the Houston, I'm calling the Oilers, to the Houston Texans. So I think they reached a little bit for him. And didn't really, you know, grab a great running back. So they got D'Angelo Williams, who left there, Pittsburgh, to be the backup, and they got Jonathan Stewart and a bunch of guys you don't really know. So I think they left some things on the board, didn't really try to get some O-line help to protect Cam. I'm actually, they did get a guard, I think a tackle in a fourth round, but that's a little bit late, man, in the draft, so rich with offensive line. That's my three squads. You got any in there?
No, I mean, I'm agreeing with you totally 100% with Carolina Panthers. I wasn't impressed with them at all. You know, you said, I didn't know if you said the Texans was somebody that you liked or not, but I didn't see much for the Texans. Say it again?
I was saying Indy is somebody I didn't like.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, yeah, like I said, I didn't see much out of them as well. I was, you know, the Carolina Panthers is a team that I thought had a chance to actually make a few moves to get better. As far as they went after a receiver, which you knew they were going to do because they needed some help. But outside of that, I didn't see them do anything that was productive for them. It's like they're going to be a running team with a quarterback that is one shot from getting broken and out the door. So between them, Texans, like I said, the Panthers and what you call it, I'm not feeling it. I just didn't, you know, like I said, I didn't think they had a good draft. Now, we were saying before, I was commenting on something about the Arizona Cardinals winning that division over there. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm
I was saying that because this is what I was saying about the Cardinals over there. They were already a team that was one or two players away from winning that division. I think now this is a team that after that draft they had in previously that they gotten, that's a team that's right there for as far as the Super Bowl bid. That's one of my teams I was talking about that, you know, Pete Carroll's going to beat himself up for not giving Marshawn Lynch the ball by the goal line to win that, make that touchdown because that's going to buy them. I don't think they're going to make it to that position. I don't think they're going to be there. Matter of fact, the way this league is shaping up, they might not even make the playoffs. That's all I was about to say.
Okay. All right. Well, we can notate that on 5-6 because I'm sure you will be changing. You haven't even seen a playoff. You haven't even seen a preseason game yet, so you'll be.
We know how that changes, though.
From now, so okay, we got you. You know, Arizona's getting better. They made the playoffs, but Super Bowl bid is a little bit much. You know, I don't think you underestimate number one. They lost the defensive coordinator, who's not a coach of the Jets. They need
right.
still need some pass rush help. They drafted a couple guys, but we don't know what they can do. And they lost the cornerback who was playing opposite of Patrick Peterson, who's now with the Jets, Cromartie. So they still got some holes. David Johnson is a solid running back. We're going to see what he can do. He's a third-round guy from Northern Iowa, but yeah, even with him and Ellington, that'll be a nice 1-2 punch. But we got to see what they can do out there. I still say, I mean, Seattle has some holes, no doubt about it. They got to work on their offensive line. I wasn't really impressed with this draft. But, I mean, until somebody knocks them off the rack, I'm not really sure if they're going to be right there in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. I'm not willing to say that yet. Let's keep it moving, man. Let's keep it moving. We forgot about the NBA. This is going on. A lot of great playoff series going on right now. All the road teams have managed to win a game on the opposite floor, man, which was really puts the pressure on some of these teams. Currently, Cleveland knocked off Chicago 106-91. Waiting for the Houston and LA Clipper game to kick off. Let's talk about first of all that great game that we saw. On Saturday, man, where we came, possibly the end of an era. The L.A. Clippers knocked off the San Antonio Spurs in a great series that we thought San Antonio was going to take to continue their run. But, you know, they came up a little bit short. The Clippers got a little bit mentally tough, got a little stronger mentally, and made the push and made the plays necessary to eliminate those guys. Currently, they're up 1-0 over the Houston Rockets, and they did it without Chris Paul.
which is an amazing feat. He had to miss game one due to injury. Blake Griffin showed up. What surprises you most about these playoff series? You got the Cavaliers versus the Bulls. It's now tied up at 1-1. We talked about them a little bit. We got Golden State, who a lot of people said, okay, Golden State is now the favorite in the NBA.
That game surprised me right there, the second game. Golden State is a team. But, yeah, playing against Memphis, I thought Golden State was going to dominate the series. I know they wasn't going to sweep them, but I was expecting Memphis to actually get a split right now of the series. You know what I'm saying? They're 1-1 right now. Memphis came back and won. I thought Golden State was a team that was going to win this in five, maybe six. That is my team, I'm telling you right now. Along with, I keep saying Atlanta. I'm gonna ride Atlanta, you know what I'm saying, coming out the East. Because, I feel you. I know you like your Bulls and everybody else. But the Bulls just lost to Cleveland, and Cleveland's missing a few components. And I thought in that type of series right there, the Bulls should be dominating right now. You know what I'm saying? They should have been smothering Cleveland to the point that Cleveland didn't have should be.
They lost to them. Go ahead. Finish your point.
No, go ahead. I didn't hear. You was kind of
I said the
fog in my ear.
They lost today, but they did what they came to accomplish. They're leaving Cleveland 1-1.
I mean, yeah, I feel you, but like I said, that was the thing, though. I thought the Bulls actually go 2-0 in this series right now. I thought the Bulls
were
more of a dominant team.
No.
I thought they'd be more of a dominant team right now.
You got the best player in the world, and like the number 10 player in the world with Irving. So, I mean, they have ability. They're not washed up because this guy's not here. I mean, I expect this series to still go 6-7 games. I mean, I didn't expect no sweep or no 5-game series. I knew it was going to be a bang. LeBron is out here. Irving is out here. They got a solid bench. Even the guys that aren't playing, I mean, Love really just started coming into his own this last 2 weeks of the season, 2-3 weeks of the season. So, I mean, it's not like he's been doing the 19-10 thing all season. So, it's going to be a bang. That's what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But that Golden State Memphis series, Memphis is a tough team. Memphis is a very grimy team. I didn't think that they would win one in Golden State, not early in the series, but they're surprising me, man. And I think that but their grit, they can push Golden State to the brink. They're going to really test those guys, intestinal fortitude, if you will, and definitely see what they're made of. People are kind of anointed them the favorite. It's going to be interesting to see how this works out. Now, this Clippers-Rockets series really, really surprised me as well because Chris Paul is the leader of that team. We're talking about a Clippers team that plays about six to seven guys. We're not talking about a whole bunch of depth. You take the best player away, and they beat the Rockets by 16 points. That's a little... I was surprised at that, man. I'm eager to see what tonight's game is going to hold because, if the Clippers can win tonight, first of all, I'm going to see if Chris Paul will play. Would you play him if your team won a game one? He's come out, he's got a hamstring injury. Play him in game two? Or let me ask you this.
Say again, I can't hear you. My phone.
Hello? What percentage does he have to be for you to play him? Like 75%, 80%, 90%, 85%?
80, I say 80%. Give him 80% because I don't want to re-injure. I need him for the long haul. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I say 80%.
So the chance of a re-injure is high.
I understand that, but, it's playoff. It's playoff time, baby. Playoff time demands a lot out of you. You know what I'm saying? Those nicks and bruises that might keep you out. They can't keep you out. You know what I'm saying? He got to get down and get busy. Hey. I'm not saying tear the hamstring, but then we need you to play. You got to play.
But you just won yesterday. That's what I'm saying. You just won on their floor yesterday. He's hurt.
If he's 80%, he plays. If he's not 80%, send him down.
I think I would sit him down tonight just for, I mean, even if it is 80% because of this is basketball, this is a running sport, and the chances of him re-injuring that thing is very high. It is very, very high, especially at this juncture in the season where he's been playing it all year and you're in a competitive series. I just came off a 1-0 win. We've shown that we can beat him without you. I mean, can beat him convincingly. I'm going to give you a couple days rest, man. So you can, when you do come back, hopefully you'll be a little bit stronger and hopefully lessen that chance of a re-injury and see if we can go get him again. But if you tell me you're 85%, you're 85, 90%, you don't think you're going to, you know, hurt yourself, possibly. But
yeah, get him out there and get busy.
I'm like, hey, you know, we got one here. We know we're not going to sweep him. So, you know, let's keep it moving. Let's get you, you know, let's give you some rest. But has your predictions for any of these things? Oh, your Washington, I mean, I'm sorry, your Atlanta boys. That
One.
Atlanta. Do you still have the same confidence in those guys?
Absolutely. I go where because they lost the game. Absolutely. I have the same amount of confidence and everything else in them. Like I said earlier this year, when I saw them balling and blowing people out doing their thing, same amount of confidence in them. And I think, you know, they will be there at the dance at the end. Because that Cleveland series and that Cleveland-Atlanta series is going to go 7 games. That's going to be a beat-up, beat-down team, whoever presents themselves to Atlanta for the next series. They're going to be – it's a slog-knocker over there. So, like I said, you know, that team, that game right there, that's going 7 rounds.
Okay. All right. And you still have Atlanta winning that series, so they're gonna be there. Okay.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna be there.
Yep.
And who wins between Chicago and Cleveland?
Chicago.
Okay. All right. I'm still saying Chicago. I think I'm gonna go with Washington in this series, man, against Atlanta. It's kind of hard to grade the game because it's like 104-98 was the first game for the Wizards, and then 106-90 for the Hawks. So it's kind of hard to see how things are going. I may go with the, I'm going to hold off on that because I forgot John Wall, the point guard, their best player, has been battling some injuries. So I got to see really where he's at before I go ahead and make that that assumption. That's key right there. So he didn't even play game two. So that's a key one. That's a key injury. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's keep it moving, man. I'm on in terms of that. It's if John Wall plays. Let's talk quickly, man. We talked about the draft. We talked about these guys that we have going to these teams, gave our grades. Let's switch a little bit early to the fantasy, man. Let's talk about some fantasy aspects. So we've got 20 minutes left, and we have 10 guys we're going to talk about plus 2 sleepers, so we have to be mindful of the time. Let's talk about some fantasy prospects for some of these guys. First, we're going to look at the quarterbacks, Mariota and Jameis Winston. Let's start with Mariota. What do you think his fantasy impact is going to be?
He's going to come in and start right away. I think that's somebody right that you know that's going to have a grasp of the offense. He's shown that, you know, he can, everybody's saying that he can pick up an offense and keep it going. So I think he's going to be a starter, impact player. They're going to change a few things up. They got some talent around him. So I'm looking for him to, to come in to be a starter and put up some points. I'm looking at maybe 3,000-yard passing year. Oh, well, maybe 2,500-yard passing year with 500 yards rushing. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking he might be a little sleeper. He might be a good for a keeper league. That's somebody that can progress for late, you know what I'm saying, that for each year.
I think he's going to be, I don't know, I think he's going to have a little hard time adjusting to the offense. I don't know how much talent they have around him. I know that they have Kendall Wright at wide receiver. They have Justin Houston at wide receiver, and they also drafted Dorian Beckham, Dorian Green Beckham, I should say, who is going to be kind of a wild card there for him. I think he's just going to be okay. I think he's going to be another guy. I'm not really interested in him. Like you said, if you want to get him in a keeper league, possibly. I'm thinking, you know, he may do something with the running game and maybe somebody who can, you know, get you a couple touchdowns on the ground and makes him a little bit more valuable. But that's where I have him at. Middle of the ground, I wouldn't draft him. Maybe in a real deep league, my second or third quarterback, I want to take a flyer on somebody. Jameis Winston, I think, is going to be able to have a little bit bigger impact. So I think he's more pro-ready. He's going to an offense that we don't know what the running back situation is going to look like, but they have a number of them, three or four.
Yeah.
He's got two big receivers over there who can throw the ball to, and he's got a big tight end. So I expect him to be able to do some things, throwing the football. I think they are going to protect him by running it with who, I don't know. I expect bigger things from him through the air. I'm thinking he might do something maybe like somewhere between 3,032 to 3,700 yards through the air, 23 touchdowns, but he's going to throw a lot of interceptions. I think he's going to throw 15, 16 interceptions. It'll be a solid year for a rookie, but, you know, I still think maybe a second guy, spot starter for you, bye-week starter. Running backs, which is your position that you like to talk about. We're going to talk about Gurley and,
no
and Gordon. And, again, we've got about eight more guys after this, so we can keep
Yeah. Gurley, I think once he, you know, shows that he got his legs and, he shakes off the injury, he will be the starter. You know what I'm saying? Even my man that tweeted, I don't know what his name is, Zach Stacy, whatever, they got rid of him because, he tweeted, ouch. That was funny. But, yeah, he messed himself up. A running back I know is going to get some playing time that I think is going to – a team, Tevin Coleman, playing over there for the Falcons. With that 1-2 punch at receiver, quarterback play still in place, I think that somebody has a chance to shine. That might be considered a sleeper. And Gordon, hey, I think he's going to come in and take the smart spot as well. I think – I told you, this year was the year that all four draft running backs were big play potential. You know what I'm saying? We haven't got one of them as well, Amir Abdullah. You know what I'm saying? So, we might have a chance to – all four of these running backs might get in there and shine.
Yeah, I think Gordon is going to be nice over at San Diego. Actually, he's going to be somebody who I'm going to probably say is going to be possibly the rookie of the year offensively. He's got a decent offensive line, not great. Good quarterback, though, with a good passing game around him. San Diego likes to run the football. If he can show that he can catch and be a three-down player, he can have some big numbers out there. We've seen running backs put up big numbers when they can stay healthy. And I think he's going to be dangerous out there. Gurley has to show me that he's going to be healthy and he's going to be able to play the full season, and he's also going to be able to hold off Trey Mason, because Trey Mason really came on last year at the end of the year, last five or six games. He's a talented guy. He can be used possibly as a change of pace guy, but if Gurley's not ready to go early, he's the type of guy who can get a hold of the job and maybe not let it go, like a Fred Jackson or somebody where, you know, when he's in there doing it, he's doing it, and it's hard to get him out of there. So you got to watch Mason. I like Tevin Campbell as a sleeper. Tevin Coleman, I said, as a sleeper. They got a couple other running backs over there.
Yeah.
Atlanta, it depends on what type of role he kind of figures out over there, but they got some help for their offensive line. I think they'll be solid. Let's talk about a couple of these wide receivers. Kevin White and Amari Cooper. Kevin White for Chicago and Amari Cooper for Oakland.
Yeah.
I like
the, well, you know what Oakland Raiders like to do. I'm sorry. Okay. You know what the Oakland Raiders like to do. They like speed. They like, you know, they're going to throw it up. I think he's going to actually have a chance to get 1,000 yards receiving because Oakland doesn't have, a true running back over there. I didn't see him draft a true running back over there. They got rid of their running backs from over there, so all they have is just going to be a little bit of pass attack with the Raiders. I think this guy will have about 1,100 yards receiving. They're going to feed him the ball often and early. He's powerful. He's big. He's going to come into the NFL, be a man amongst boys, so I'll see him dominate over there. White over there in Washington, hey, same thing. Now, the only thing with White is how are they going to handcuff, you know what I'm saying, the quarterback play over there, or are they going to let him just air it out and do his thing? That's the only problem I have with White.
Well, I like Cooper. I will say the receiver spot, know, some guys, you know, last year some guys, you know, did come in and make big splash, and we see a couple guys every year. I do think there is, you know, a little bit of an adjustment period, especially when you got a team with a young quarterback. We saw Odell Beckham get off last year, but, you know, he had Eli Manning. We saw other guys get off with some veteran quarterbacks. David Carr is a good guy. I like him. He is a talented guy, and I think Amari Cooper is going to fit in well over there. I think he's going to benefit from having a guy, a veteran like Crabtree, who's going to play opposite him and be kind of the possession receiver. And, you know, it's going to be kind of like, well, who's number one? They got to show kind of who's number one. So he may take advantage of some number two, number three corners over there. So I think he's going to be good. He is a polished route runner. I expect big things from him. Kevin White, expect big things from him, too. He's not quite as polished as Cooper in terms of route running, but he's bigger. He's physical. He's a red zone threat, and he has tremendous, tremendous speed and run after the catch ability. And he goes to a situation where he doesn't have to be a number one guy. He's an outside referee. He is a solid guy who can, you know, possibly demand the number one corners. I think that a lot of ability to probably exploit the number two and number three corners just on his size alone. You have that speed out there. It's going to be interesting to see. But I'm going to tell you, if you know anything about the offense, John Fox, they have Forte. He's in a contract year. I don't know if they're going to either do the DeMarco Murray and just run him like crazy or use him like crazy. But I also think that offensively, though, they've been successful throwing the ball. I won't say a lot. I think some part of it is by design, but part of it is by they were losing. So, but they've been successful right. Utilizing those receivers and Forte in the passing game. I think he has potential to be you know, a pretty good guy. You know, people talk about Cutler. In his ability, and whether you like him or not, we talk from a fantasy perspective here, he put up a lot of points. You know, he may throw three interceptions with his three touchdowns, but he's going to have 250 to 300 yards passing. And, you know, sometimes, you know, reality is a little different from fantasy. He puts up points. So right now I'm going to work with Kevin White. I like him a lot. A couple other receivers. We got Devontae Parker at Miami. Your boy that you said that you like, Philip Dorsett in Indy, Brashad Perriman in Baltimore.
That's the one. That's my sleeper. That was my sleeper right there, Carl. I think he's going to put up a lot of points.
We'll start with Parker.
Okay.
He got Miami, Tannehill, quarterback is developing. They got Jarvis Landry out there. At the corner, at the wide receiver spot as well. I think he's going to be a little different wide receiver. He's got a lot of size. He's got decent speed, not blazing speed, but he's a guy who can really, really move, and he's really, really big, and he makes the acrobatic catch. I think he's going to be a Mike Williams-type front receiver for those guys and really, really put up some big numbers, and he's going to benefit, again, from having a couple other receivers out there who can get open and make plays. They got Kenny Seals from New Orleans and Jarvis Landry, who was a rookie that they drafted last year. To your point, your boy Rashad Perriman, you say you like him a lot. Go ahead and go ahead on him and tell us a little bit about him.
Okay. Baltimore Ravens got rid of their speed receiver in Troy Smith. They got rid of him, right? They have an excellent receiver and the other Smith on the other side. Perriman is going to be that deep threat. He has the speed to stretch the field. He has a good quarterback. People have been slacking on him. On Flacco, I'm telling you, he's a good, I'm not going to say great, but he's a good quarterback over there. Baltimore keeps a hell of a running game going, and they run the hell out of that play-action fake, and he goes over the top and can light it up. I am impressed with this pickup. I think he will, I'm not going to say lead all receivers, but he will be right there with some of the top-notch performance as a rookie receiver and probably as one of the best ones coming into the NFL for this year. Okay, I mean, because they don't really understand the decisiveness and speed yet. I didn't think he ran a 4.29. But they're saying it's 40 count, 49, 4.3, whatever, and that's electrifying. That scares defenses. So look for him to make a splash early in the season, and then if they make adjustments, he might, because, you know, he can go across the middle. He did have 1,100 yards rushing. He had 1,000 yards receiving last year anyway in college. So I think he can play the role as a possession, as a deep threat, but he's terrifying fast.
Hey, I know you like speed and everything, but I'm going to tell you, he needs a lot of work with his route running. He needs a lot of work with his hands. Yeah, like 14 clear drops left each year. And he's just going to need a lot of work to build up that trust. and him that I mean the build up that trust that from Joe Flacco. We saw Torrey Smith, he's supposed to be a burner. He was supposed to be your last burner for Maryland out there for Baltimore. I think he may have had 1,000 yards maybe 1 year over there.
Okay.
Not really big on I mean, they will throw the deep ball, but again, he has to have some trust in you. They do a lot of their best work, and the crazy thing is Flacco's a great deep ball hook. They do a lot of their best work underneath.
Yes, he is.
Receivers like you say, Steve Smith, also with the tight end. So I like his speed a lot. He's got a lot of speed. His dad was Brett Perriman, who had great hands. So, you know, you would think he would have good hands, but he's got to work on concentration and catching the football and separation. He just can't rely on speed. This Philip Dorsett, oh, I'm sorry, the guy that I like, who I think is going to be a key sleeper, is this Nelson Aguilar guy who's going to Philadelphia. He's from USC. He's playing the pro-style offense. We know that offense and what Chip Kelly can do with it and how he can create space for guys. This guy has great run after the catch ability, tremendous route runner, good hands, return punts, so he has deceptive speed and good acceleration. We look at this offense that Chip Kelly has run, DeSean Jackson had a great year in it. He made Riley Cooper look decent. Jordan Matthews, as a rookie, looked pretty good last year. Jeremy Maclin, before he got injured, looked good. And then last year, he came back and had a very big year, which led to him getting $11 million per year from another team, Kansas City. So this guy is talented. I think he's going to be better than Maclin is, a better fit than Maclin was in that offense. I think he got to watch. And then your last guy, Philip Dorsett, I'm going to let you talk about him. But I just think you got T.Y. Hilton, Andre Johnson, Moncrief, Dante Moncrief, and De'Ron Carter all in front of this guy, and you take this guy in the first round. It's going to be hard for him to eat.
Only who I say that.
Go ahead.
Because the only reason I'm thinking this, because you're right, Andre Johnson is there, and I was very happy to see them here with the Colts. But what the Colts do, they don't just target one receiver. Like I said, Luck can spread the ball around. You know what I'm saying? He's a true, he's a true quarterback that can make any and everybody great. You know what I'm saying? I think he's going to get on the field because Andre Johnson was hurt. You know, he gets hurt often, and he's old. So I think he has a chance to learn and, you know, develop. But towards the end of the year, I think he's going to come on and splash. They're going to insert him in that offense. He's going to come on and make a hell of a difference.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what he's going to do because, like I said, there's four receivers, four receivers in front of him, two of which you've acquired this year. So I just do not see him making that big of an impact definitely at the beginning of the year. Now, if he's a player, and I see him in preseason, he beats those guys out, he's out there, okay. But you got De'Ron Carter, the son of Chris Carter, who came over from the CFL, who just signed a very decent free agent contract. So, you know, he's going to, you know, they're going to want to see what he's got to do. Dante Moncrief, who's a big, fast guy, who's going to probably be the heir apparent to Andre Johnson. You know, you want him to get some reps out there and get some experience. And you got T.Y. Hilton. I think this draft pick was actually made for next year. And in terms of fantasy value for this year, I have to really, really watch him and see if he can get on the field. Because even if he does get on the field, don't forget about Kobe Fleener and the other tight end that they have. If he's on the field,
right,
it doesn't make him the third option. He can be on the field if he can get out there and be the fifth and sixth option. So I'm not sold on him as of yet, fantasy-wise, this year. I think he, you know, if you want a double-up option, maybe. But even then, I'm not really waiting to watch him. But I'm trying to see what we can do before I pick him up. Now, last but not least, we got about 5 minutes left. Chip Kelly, man. There's some talk about Chip Kelly, about him letting the players go. McCoy said something about him letting all the black players go. I just want to say this. The question is, you know, how do we feel about him? And I don't want to put the racist word, but we think that race plays a part in how he deals with his players. I want to say early on, I don't think his race racial over there. There's a lot of people saying it or insinuating it. And looking from afar, or looking from the NFL aspect, I can kind of see how they're doing, how that can be, especially with Riley Cooper still there and getting a contract extension last year for like $22 million for 4 years after he did and said what he did. He did have a decent year, but that goes without saying. But that's neither here nor there.
Right.
Well, I will say this. After seeing this guy in college, seeing some of the players that he's coached, I don't get racism from him. He had a couple black quarterbacks out there. Mario Mariota is a guy of color. He picked up DeMarco Murray in free agency, gave Byron Maxwell $63 million from Seattle. Six or seven draft picks were for African American. So do you think that there's any racial instance going on here, or do you think that Chip just wants his guys and he wants to be the star? Because that's what I think it is. But go ahead and elaborate on that in a couple minutes if you can.
No, I don't think it's I don't think there's no racial undertones in this at all. You know, at first I was kind of agreeing with Shady. He just wants to get his players in there because they did say that he was pushing players harder in practice. He was doing things differently that with the other players were used to. You know what I'm saying? So I think I know a couple of players is mad and pissed that they're gone because, you know, they had great seasons. And now they're about to lead his offense. I think what he's doing, he's just getting his type of players fresh out of college, people that he can push and get a better performance from to come in and buy into his system. That's all it is. Because when you have old vets over there, they're stuck in their old ways. A lot of old vets, you know, even though they're great players, somebody has to, you know, you got to let them move on because, you know, it's a different type of atmosphere that he's trying to bring into the offense. That's what I think it is. I'm not going to say racial at all. It's just you got to look at some of those players. What year are they in a contract? You know, he was trying to get a lot of contract money. Now, I'm somebody that's thinking this guy lost his mind because he didn't got rid of a lot of good players over there to bring in these cats. So I think he's like two bad seasons away of losing his job. But I think that's what he was trying to do, to get some young players to buy into his system because he runs everything still like it's in college. You know, they practice a little harder. It turns the tempo a little bit more on things. So I think that's all he was trying to get over there. Are we there?
Yeah, I said, you know, I'm sorry. He's been, have a winning season or two winning losing seasons away from losing his job. He hasn't had a losing season yet. He's been 10-6 his first 2 years. And he's been winning also in the battle, I guess, of the front office because they know he's the GM now. He's basically run out. I don't want to say run out, but he's winning everything. Do you think, quickly, in 30 seconds or less, do you think he can win like this?
In that division, no. Dallas is better. Washington is a team that's trying to build. He can stay 8-8, 9-7, but you know, I don't think he'll be a dominant team in that division right now. I think with that type of attitude, players might end up revolting against him. So, no, I don't think so. I'm looking at Dallas to win that division again. Dallas got better. Washington step up. It depends on how RG3 performs and what they're going to do over there. But, I mean, I wish because I like Philadelphia, but I don't think so. I don't think he can win like that. Not consistently over the years.
All right. Well, that's the end of the show. We're coming out to the end. Well, thank you guys for checking us out. Next week, we're going to try to come back to you guys on Tuesday. Right now, currently, it is 3-2, Detroit Tigers. Playoff
4-3.
I'm sorry, 4-3. Are we losing?
No, we up 4-3. We can't. No, they scored. Tied it up. We just went up again.
I'm sorry.
Bottom of the fifth.
I changed the channel. 4-3.
No problem.
Continue to check us out next Tuesday. And remember, if you don't have a passion for anything else, please have a passion for life and a passion for sports. And I'm going with this Jay-Z because I'm already at the crib, so I'm already home. All right, L, have a great week. See you next week, brother.
All right, brother, you do the same.
your bell. Somebody turn these boys off. Don't they know that I'm on? Can they see that it's foolish to try to kill me with song? What the fuck are they hearing? You killing me softly. You talk me to death. Only thing you can do, Tom. I open and talk with them. What else can I do? These niggas want me to walk with them. Somebody talk to them before I go
fall. They want me to fall.
Consummation, I don't know who you racing. I'm already at the finish line with the flag waving. Come on.